Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's an open forum today. What do you want to talk about in the news? How about birth control? Should everyone have access? And if so, how should that work? How about a statewide network that's forming to push for same-gender marriage in Ohio? Are you on or off that bandwagon? And a new poll out says that although Ohio voters in November overwhelmingly opposed Senate Bill 5, they support a right-to-work bill now. Quinnipiac poll found that by a 14-point margin, Ohio should become the nation's 24th right-to-work state. That's according to the Columbus Dispatch. What do you think about that? The president's proposed budget would pair mail on Saturdays. Would you miss it? And what do you celebrate about Columbus? What would you like to see more of or less of? Or are you sick of the bicentennial? It's only day two, actually. Ohio Secretary of State Mike DeWine has proposed tougher regulations on fracking in Ohio, bigger fines, more scrutiny of the ingredients in the fracking fluid, and more support for landowners besieged by landmen with tempting leases. Anything there interests you? Also, Steve Brown just reported, as you probably heard, a new poll says Rick Santorum is now the favorite to win the Ohio GOP primary next month. The survey by Quinnipiac University says 33% of likely GOP voters in the Ohio primary favor the former senator from Pennsylvania, with 29% backing Mitt Romney, 20% for Newt Gingrich, and 9% for Ron Paul. The poll also says when pitted against the president, Mitt Romney fares the best, but still trails slightly. The poll also says that if Mitt Romney selected Ohio's Republican U.S. Senator Rob Portman, that would not help him win Ohio. What do you think? Give us a call, 614-292-8513. As is typical at this time of year, particularly during a presidential election year, there's lots to talk about, lots of news. It's just that way in February. So give us a call. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're interested in your Facebook postings as well. Go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. And you can tweet at Ann Fisher, WOSU, if that is more convenient for you. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. It's an open forum. I'm just here all by myself. Well, me and the newspaper and some notes. So that sounds kind of boring. Why don't you join the conversation? 614-292-8513. Paul and Bexley, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you. Just on the contraception issue, I find it kind of interesting that after many years, at least 12 years, I think it's been, of pretty settled labor and EEO law, where, you know, many states, I think it was up to 28, had this type of situation exist already where, except for the actual religious entities, the churches themselves, or people that were involved directly in the practice of religion, that if they were providing benefits, the benefits couldn't be related to their religious preferences or religious beliefs. They had to be, you know, what generally would be provided. And David Boies did a great job explaining this a few nights ago on MSNBC, but he's a constitutional lawyer that was involved in the Gore case. But it's interesting how this has gotten brought up and like it's a brand new big thing when this has been, you know, this is the way it's been for years.
In every state?
No, 28.
28. I'm sorry. Yeah, I missed that.
And there's little variations and whatever. And the whole premise is that, the way the right seems to be about this, or the conservatives, the religious and otherwise, it seems to be they want freedom as long as they're free to impose their idea of what the way things ought to be on everybody else. when we've had it before that, okay, in your own little world you can do that, but you can't do it to everybody else. And it just doesn't seem reasonable. And then again, now all of a sudden it's a big surprise, new thing, when in fact it isn't. So that's my
Paul, and you might have said this earlier, I was tussling with my scarf. Did you say that Ohio is one of those 28 states?
I believe that it, you know, I was involved with EEO work for many, many years.
And equal employment opportunity.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And I think Ohio is one of those states where that's the way it's been.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll check on that. And thanks for your call, Paul.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. 614-292-8513 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation. It's an open forum this morning, and we welcome your comments. There's a lot to talk about. We were just talking with Paul from Bexley about the birth control issue. The president wanted to include it in as part of the package in the what should be required in the national health care plan. In the law, they're working out those rules now, and the Catholic Church has said absolutely not. We can't be forced to offer birth control to our employees and pay for it. And the compromise over the last few days has been, okay, well, we'll just require the insurance companies to offer it, and then it'll be in that universe of options for everybody. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Victor in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm glad to be here. I wanted to make a comment about the president's budget cuts to the Ohio National Guard. It's cutting six KC-135s from Rickenbacker in South Columbus and four C-27Js from Mansfield.
Now, I don't know what those things are, so you're going to have to tell us.
Yeah, the KC-135 is an air-to-air refueling jet. Okay. Works around the world. And the C-27J is a smaller troop hauler, basically.
Okay.
Two engines, high wing. It can do airdrops, and it's being deployed in Afghanistan right now.
Okay.
These cuts come with about 1,000 jobs to be lost. And in the case of Mansfield, they don't have any follow-on missions, so the whole unit is at risk right now. And then in Columbus, we've got a few hundred jobs attached to that. And, you know, it's a little hard for some folks to swallow because, like, Rickenbacker has got the best air crew for the KC-135 the last 2 years running. And it's a little confusing, you know, why are we even competing if we're going to be cut like this?
You said, why are we even competing?
Yeah, so we have to compete every year for these, okay, the annual competition.
And if it's so great that it requires a competition, why cut it?
Yeah,
yeah.
That's one of our complaints. But our biggest complaint is there's the cost differential between the National Guard and the active duty. It costs about a third to maintain these guard units around the state compared to an active duty unit anywhere else. And if you're going to make budget cuts, why aren't we making the cuts to the active duty forces first? That's what we're pointing
well,
at.
Well, what argument do you think you would hear on that score?
Well, we're not getting a real good argument. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why we're raising our hand saying, wait a second, that doesn't sound right.
Well, as far as active duty goes, do they have a commitment first, do you think, to the active duty?
Well, our active duty brethren, you know, they're kind of in charge of the budget proposal. So,
okay.
If the plot thickens.
If they
can choose to cut where they want to cut, and right now they're trying to make the guard into the bill payer, what it looks like.
Okay. All right. Interesting question. I appreciate it, Victor.
All right. Take care.
614-292-8513 if you want to join our open forum. There's lots to talk about, no shortage. The president's budget's out now, and Victor just wanted to talk about the cuts to the Ohio National Guard. He said it could cost the state 1,000 jobs in the Ohio National Guard. What do you think? Do you have a better idea? 614-292-8513. And Alyssa, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Alyssa.
Hi. I'm just wondering why under the birth control issue no one has brought up the thing that if we did have a single-payer health care system or the health exchanges that we are the being suggested, that I could choose whatever health program I wanted and it would go with me wherever I went. It wouldn't be dependent upon my employer.
So that is the solution to that. It's not that the Catholic Church would be offering it, it's just the health exchange.
Right. So I see advantages to the health exchange program or that right now you are dependent upon your employer for the health care, whereas this would go with you wherever you went.
I was kind of wondering, too, let's say that they did give the Catholic Church that exemption. Of course, that's a slippery slope, and that's a whole other question. But what about employees who are not Catholic, who work for the Catholic Church? There's, I'm sure, lots of those.
Well, you know, that's what I said. If you bought your health care someplace else and it went with you, no matter what employer you went with, it would be your choice for your health care, and employers would not be in the health care business.
Okay. Well, we'll put that out there and see what people say. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. It's an open forum right now, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go online to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and give us a comment or question there. We'll be checking that out on a regular basis, and you can tweet me at @AnnFisherWOSU. Birth control, we've talked about. We talked a little bit about the president's budget. He's proposing now to pay her mail on Saturdays to end the Saturday mail service. Would you miss it, or would you be relieved that it's one less day? You got to wait for those bills to arrive in the mailbox. Ohio Secretary of State Mike DeWine, we talked about this earlier this week, has proposed tougher regulations on fracking in Ohio. Fracking is, of course, short for fracturing, and that's a process they call horizontal fracturing is what we're talking about mostly in Ohio, and it's a process by which they pump at very high pressure water laced with chemicals and sand into these shale formations underneath mostly eastern Ohio and southeastern Ohio, and it forces the gas out, and hopefully they capture the gas. I haven't figured that side out of it, but there's a lot of things I haven't figured out. And the question, there's a couple questions. There's the question of what happens to the wastewater. And what are they pumping into our ground in the first place? And what about, you know, any repercussions from that? No pun intended, because there was an earthquake in Youngstown. But that didn't have to do with horizontal fracturing. That had to do with the deep well injections, different kind of animal. So, but people are wondering and they're worried. And Attorney General Mike DeWine has proposed tougher fines, per diem fines instead of one flat fine, for instance. He's also wants more transparency in terms of what kind of chemicals are being included in the water that's being pumped into the earth. And he wants consumer help for the landowners who are being asked to lease their property for this purpose. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're going to take a break. Then when we get back, we'll get to Dan and Harold and James. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, Rick Santorum now ties or leads Mitt Romney in national polls. Is he the anti-Romney, the anti-Obama? We'll look at Mr. Faith and Family. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
And On Point begins this afternoon at 1 o'clock on 89.7 NPR News. 36 degrees with cloudy skies. Expect clouds throughout the day and a high of 43 today. Rain overnight tonight, a low of 37 degrees. More rain for Thursday and a warmer day, another unseasonably warm day with a high of 46. Partly cloudy Thursday night, a low of 30 degrees, and some sunshine on Friday with a high of 44. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
It's an open forum this hour. Give us a call. Tell us what you want to talk about. What's in the news? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We've already talked about birth control. We have talked about a little bit about the president's proposed budget, its impact on the National Guard. There is a statewide network forming to push for same-sex marriage in Ohio. What do you think about that? 2004, voters passed a constitutional amendment that banned same-sex marriage in Ohio. Would you be in favor of changing that and allowing it in Ohio? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Harold, I take your call because, boy, that's a good question. Welcome to the show, Harold.
Well, you got the question. Yeah, I'm just wondering what happens to the super committee. I mean, are these cuts that are supposed to be automatic rolled into this new $13 trillion budget? Where'd it go? What happened?
I'm going to just, I don't know. That's a good question. That's what I said. And I would imagine the super committee just couldn't agree on anything. Does that surprise you?
No, well, no, that doesn't surprise me. Once they didn't agree, there were automatic cuts. You know,
so many
millions or billions to the defense, and so much here and so much there. And I just, you know, it just seems like this stuff all, well, you know, we're past that point. Let's just forget about it and move on. And I got to thinking, I asked why. I said, you know what, 20 years ago they had a balanced budget law rule or something like that. And I can't think of what the name of it was, but, you know, it's just like, well, you know, wait 6 months and the country will forget about it and move on.
That's all I had. Well, I'm going to try to, if you can figure that out between now and the end of the hour, let us know. I'm going to try to figure it out, though. So if anyone has any ideas about the super committee, give us a call. And thank you, Harold, for that call.
Okay, thank you.
614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And James in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, James.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about, it's kind of nice how things are starting to look up. It was going to take longer than 3 years anyway, because we have a long way to go. We're still not done. But, you know, Obama's numbers coming back up. Because this is the thing. I'm not really necessarily trying to pull the race card, but what the GOP is doing with Obama, that's truly racism. Because they're both well off. I mean, they're both rich. I just, you're disrespecting the president, things like that. But what people don't realize is there's a new form of racism, and it crosses barrier lines. It has nothing to do with black or white. It has to do is they don't. If you're poor, you're screwed. You're going to get the shaft. If you're poor, you're going to get the shaft. The evidence is this: you can get people to talk about health care, and you brainwash them, and then they'll say no health care. But at the same time, these people that are saying no health care, they're all going to get old and not have any money, and they're going to need health care. That's the irony of it.
And they will get taken care of.
They won't get anything if this is the thing. If they screw with Obama's agenda, nobody's going to get any free health care, and nobody realistically has the money that it takes to stay alive. And they're putting life as a monetary value, and that's, I mean— who wouldn't give any amount of money to keep their mother alive? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, are you worried about the health care reform?
The irony of it is this. You can get people to vote against their own self-interest if you tell them something enough. You know, it's not like in the 60s where people actually went out and tried to find out things on their own. It's just the GOP gets the beat in the drum, and once they do that, I mean, it's over, you know, because I can't understand why people would want to get rid of that. And then they're going to get old. They're not going to have any money. They're not going to be able to work. And they're going to die. But then GOP is saying, no health care. Let's get rid of Obamacare. Mm-hmm. They have money, and they have health care that we pay for. It's irony. You know, it's ironic. I can't believe it.
As we're switching the doorknobs in our house, I want the universal doorknobs because I know that someday we all get old and we need them. Thank you, James, for that call.
Thank you.
614-292-8513. If you want to give us a call, we have an open forum. But I did look up something about the super committee. This is from CNN. In November, President Barack Obama and congressional leaders traded blame Monday. This was in the third week of November, for the failure of the Congressional Super Committee to forge a deficit reduction deal. But they also called for Congress to work out an agreement before painful automatic budget cuts. Okay, take place in 2013. So that's the thing. There's still time is the answer, I think. Earlier, the co-chairs of the bipartisan special joint committee said in a statement that after months of hard work and intense deliberation, we have come to the conclusion today that it will not be possible to make any bipartisan agreement available to the public before the committee's deadline. So they did not meet the deadline, but the cuts wouldn't occur until 2013. I think that's where we're getting some slack cut at this point. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Steve in Worthington, I'm headed your way. Hi, Steve. You're on the show. Welcome.
Thanks, Dan. I wanted to jump back to the topic related to the controversy around birth control and
sure.
healthcare
yeah.
and agencies. I used to serve at a faith-related agency, and there were clear boundaries that were set up. I see this as an issue of religious freedom for the employer to say, if we are a faith-based organization, we should have the right to determine what kind of health care benefits we offer and what we don't. But the thing that's tied in typically with hospitals is they receive an awful lot of funding that is funded through our taxpayers and taking care of health issues. And I think if those faith-based organizations want to refuse those government funds, if they want to say that we are so completely private that we don't want to do business in that public sphere, well, then they're welcome to determine what kind of health care coverage that they want to offer. I don't see this as just an issue of the Catholic Church. If there's a group that doesn't believe in transfusions or things like that, then they should make that plain to potential employees. But if they do that, they should be able to say no to those public funds that are available to health care agencies.
Well, ultimately, though, I think one of the callers brought up the health care exchanges. I mean, once we start that part of the transition to the healthcare reform,
right,
those exchanges just follow you wherever you go. It doesn't have anything to do with who your employer is anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a wiser course, you know, once we get to that point and move down the road. But for right now, if, in my opinion, mm-hmm. the Roman Catholic Church wants to draw a hard line right now and say that we have the right to do this and claiming faith-based agency, if they want to do that, then they also have to go along with the other pieces that say that because they are so completely religious in their identity, that they should be prepared to turn down all those other sources of funding for healthcare agencies in saying that we're separate from the public domain in that regard. I think you can't have one without the other.
Okay. Well, Steve, thanks for your call.
Oh, you're welcome.
Take
Thank
care.
You. Bye-bye.
You bet. Email from Angela. If you want to email us for this open forum, it's allsides@wosu.org. Angela writes from Dublin, I live in a condo community with a locked mailbox. I clean out my mailbox two or three times a month at the most. There's rarely anything in it that isn't advertisements or solicitations from charities. I pay all of my bills via email and communicate with everyone I care about via Facebook. As a daughter of a retired letter carrier, I have sentimental memories of how important mail used to be. However, elimination of Saturday delivery seems like a positive step towards helping the United States Postal Service reduce costs. I know many people still rely on the mail, and I'm all for small cuts to save the overall system. Thanks, Angela, for that email. We appreciate it. I love the mail service. I still love getting a letter, although I very rarely do. I'll take a card with a birthday card even. That's fine with me. I still love to get them, but they can arrive any day of the week. My birthday certainly doesn't necessarily just land on Saturday, although I wish it would. 614-292-8513 if you want to give us a call. I'm going to turn to Dave now in Columbus. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Hi.
Hi.
I guess my question is, what would people think about, number one, a constitutional amendment that effectively changes election laws, and one that stops the complete control of the government by lobbying and changing the Supreme Court's ruling about these super PACs. I mean, myself, I feel like I could flip a coin as to who I vote for, because money is controlling our government.
You know, it's always an interesting question about stopping lobbyists, because that's a slippery slope. You know, there are a lot of lobbyists out there that represent all kinds of different people, not just big corporations.
But I'm talking about the obvious abuses of government workers. If you're going mm-hmm. in for public service, and then they do the revolving door, they come out of public mm-hmm. service as a staff, mm-hmm. a government staffer, mm-hmm. or a congressman, and then they come back in making $1 million a year working for the same people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we've got corporations writing the laws, mm-hmm. and the congressman not even reading them.
Yeah, that happens. Okay. Well, you want to know what other people think?
I would be interested in knowing what people would think about that, yeah.
Okay. What do you think about the president telling his supporters to go ahead and contribute to the super PAC for him? Do you think it's hypocritical?
Yes. I mean, I voted for Obama, and personally, I believe his heart's in the right place, but he got trapped into the economy when he was running on. I mean, he's actually elected on his stance on Iran, and then, you know, the economy blew up, and of course that's all blamed on him now. But you know, he was elected on changing government, and I haven't seen any change in government.
Do you think any one man can change government?
Yes, the okay. people can.
The people, okay.
If they would take, I believe we would actually need a constitutional amendment, but we could start at a place where we formed a third party where you could vote for a Democrat or a Republican as long as they pledged not to take, you know, more than a certain amount of money from any one source.
Okay.
And not have these, you know, these shams of super PACs that supposedly aren't controlled by the candidate.
I think it's interesting. I did not realize specifically that a candidate can go out and raise money for a super, or they can go to super PAC events, but they can't direct the money, I guess.
Right. And who believes that when the former chief of staff of whoever's running is all of a sudden quits, you know, officially working for candidate A, and all of a sudden he's a big wig at a super PAC. Does anybody really believe that there's no interchange there? Hmm. I mean, how stupid are we?
I'm not saying a word. So, Dale, Dale, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Take care. 614-292-8513. I'm moving down the line to Phyllis. Hi, Phyllis. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I just would like to speak a little bit about the way we use language. When Obama first talked about health care reform, it was because we were worried about the expense and the quality and the availability of care. Then he switched it to talking about requiring health insurance. That is a whole separate thing. Insurance is not care. And I'd like to point out that just because you have insurance doesn't mean you're going to get the care that you want. Most insurance companies have many, many things that they will not cover, or they have only certain treatments that they cover.
Well, that's part of what he talked about. I mean, that's part of the reform, is that it would, again, start requiring you could have existing illness and that kind of thing.
My whole point is, all we have done is require health insurance without any real improvement in care. For instance, I know hundreds of people, personally know hundreds of people, who are being kept alive by treatments that no health insurance covers. Those people will die if they are required to pay for health care coverage, insurance coverage, that doesn't in fact cover what's keeping them alive.
Can you give me an example?
Yes, I can give you an example. I am being kept alive by a treatment that no health insurance will cover.
If
I am required to spend my money for insurance and the insurance will not cover it, then I don't have the money to keep myself alive.
Well, what kind of treatment is this?
Oh, there are bunches of treatments.
Well, give me an example of a treatment that you're talking about. I'm trying to wrap my brain around this.
One of the treatments is there's chelation, which is available that people can get for heart disease to keep your arteries cleared. No insurance will cover that for that treatment, none. People go overseas to get it. They go to black market. There's all kinds of ways to get it.
And you're already paying for that out of pocket.
Out of pocket.
But you don't pay for health insurance.
I can't afford to. If I pay the health insurance, I can't afford to stay alive. And everyone is ignoring this issue. There are thousands of us out here. Thousands.
Hmm.
And this problem, you don't run into it until it happens to you. When you can't get the coverage, and no insurance will ever cover the other treatments, that it'll put us years and years behind other countries that are using other treatments. So my point is, this whole thing is a scam. All they've done is ensure the health insurance companies will make billions of dollars. People will still die. When James was talking about, isn't there any amount of money you would
people
pay?
Are always going to still die, Phyllis.
That's my point. James was saying, wouldn't you pay any amount of money to keep your mother alive? No, I wouldn't. She's 95. I don't want her to have continued thousands of dollars to keep her alive.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want that either.
Mm-hmm.
She knows she has to die at some point. The only difference is, does she expect James to pay to keep her alive when really it's the end of her life and she knows it's time to go? So James was talking about free health care. There is no such as free. Somebody always pays. The only difference is who makes the decisions about what you get for your money.
So you're paying out of pocket for that treatment that insurance won't cover. You can't afford health insurance. So what if something else happens to you? Say you break your leg.
Exactly.
Who pays for that?
I broke my leg and I had to make the decisions about what treatments I could afford. I fell off a roof and shattered an arm. And I had to face the choice of how much do I take in an operation. I take only what I can pay for.
And what did you decide in that case?
I decided to go home and not have the operation.
And how is your arm?
I have a wonderfully functioning arm now. But what I'm saying is, they don't always, you know, they told me I wouldn't have an arm to use, the hand would be withered. If you don't have this operation, you know, they do not always know. When you just yourself over to the doctor and say, okay, I'll pay this millions of dollars, save me, doctor, it's just a silly waste of most people's money. What they're being treated for and what they're getting, they are not making rational decisions. They are simply turning it all over to somebody else to make the decisions.
Okay. Phyllis, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. 614-292-8513 is the number to call. If you want to email us, it's allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to an open forum. We're talking about what's in the news. And we're going to return after this. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Many 89.7 NPR News members have discovered the advantages of using the WOSU member card for two-for-one dining, cultural events, and family activities. Now there are additional benefits with the member card benefit of the month. The benefit for February is the Columbus Museum of Art. Enjoy 2-for-1 admission all month long. Become a basic $60 member and get your member card by going to WOSU.org now.
This is 89.7 NPR News in 20 minutes. Hour 2 of All Sides begins. Investing in sustainable food production and the pleasure of slow food. That discussion is on All Sides at 11 o'clock on 89.7.
Support for 89.7 comes from the estate of Donald R. Glancy, whose life was enriched by public radio and television and whose bequest seeks to encourage others to support WOSU. More on leaving a legacy at 292-9678.
You can get access to 89.7 NPR News anytime online at WOSU.org. Hear local and national news all day, every day, from the convenience of your computer or mobile device. Listen to 89.7 NPR News online anytime at WOSU.org. 36 degrees with cloudy skies, warming up to a high of about 43 today. Rain tonight, a low of 37 degrees. Rain showers on Thursday, a high of 46. Partly cloudy Thursday night, and a low right around 30 degrees. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
You're listening to an open forum. If you want to join the conversation, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Dale in Delaware, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Dale.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've asked via Facebook just for an open line of why the Catholic Church feels it's justified in having such a problem with, you know, what the whole contraception issue is. And I've been told by Catholics that it's a First Amendment issue, that they feel that their First Amendment rights are being violated by requiring the church to support something that it religiously doesn't believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And I see nothing justified in terms of gay marriage is how you can say that your will is going to impose whether or not someone else can get married other than a position of assumed moral superiority. If it's going to be framed in a First Amendment way, the hypocrisy of not allowing gay marriage while imposing, you know, imposing your will against gay marriage while complaining that someone else is imposing their will on you regarding contraception is unbelievable to me.
You know, I talked to one of the people in the forefront of the anti-gay marriage movement in the United States, and he said it has nothing to do with religion.
Well, I've heard that, you know, by definition, you know, a man and a woman, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Well, language changes. You're not supposed to say towards or ain't or any of this, but we know language changes. Definitions change. Societies change. And further, if you're going to justify that point that it's a First Amendment issue, you have to address all the First Amendment issues, and whether religion has anything to do with it or not. If a person can't, you know, legally bind themselves in an equal way, in all ways, then it's just, it's a fallacy. I'm a straight guy. I broke my neck in 2008. A woman I'd been with for 8 years was not going to be allowed back to the trauma room before I was operated on. It has nothing to do with religion, but when somebody's not allowed to engage in a fully occupational or, you know, functioning marriage with someone they love because of the moral superiority or any other position of someone else,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's wrong.
So you got a little taste of that medicine then when you were seriously injured and your partner,
yeah,
who, unmarried,
I'm
you're unmarried.
I'm happily married now.
Yeah, but at the time, and she did not have access to you, and so you learned what it's like when, you know, gay couples who are not allowed to marry, the kind of rights there.
My son was driving the car when we got in the wreck.
Mm-hmm.
He was there. He made sure she got in.
Mm-hmm.
I did see her.
But it might not have been.
Mm-hmm. I learned my lesson. To prevent someone like that in any position from engaging with the person they love in a lifetime committed relationship is just wrong.
Of course, they could have a, now I'm going to be devil's advocate, they could have a living will, and what I would imagine you would say is, why should they have to have a living will? Why can't they just get married?
Okay. Equality is equality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to say that someone's lifestyle is incorrect, why? Based on what position of superiority? What gives you the right, anyone the right, okay, to say that for anyone else?
All right. Dale, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Moving on down the line here to Gary in Columbus. You're on the air. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you very much. I don't know if it's a complaint, but I would like to discuss the roads.
Okay, the funding problem.
The
yeah,
uh-huh. The roads, since I was a child, and I'm rather old, has been a user-based fee for upkeep of the roads, whether it was the highway system, the national highway system, or the local roads.
The gas tax, right.
The gas tax. Mm-hmm. A local gas tax and a federal gas tax.
Well, yeah, but
During my lifetime, anyway, I'm sure when it started out that this wasn't there. But then again, we didn't have roads. The point is, it was every user that used it paid for it. Now, it turns out that a lot of users that use it are not paying for it. And for instance,
how so?
Well, they've taken money from some of those funds to fund mass transit. The people who use mass transit don't pay for the roads,
but they stay off the roads.
No. They are on buses that use the roads.
But the buses work that into their fees. The ticket price includes.
No, not the city buses. Not COTA.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I know.
COTA has a buy from that. COTA is under, if you'll notice the license plate of it, it's a county license plate, and they do not pay, because they're a county vehicle, do not pay any gas taxes, any oil taxes.
But by using mass transit, you keep people off the roads.
But you have buses on the road. Now, think of this. If you have people riding the buses almost totally, which you're beginning to have now in another way, because people are not people's cars are not using as much gas as they used to.
I was going to say there's a lot of reasons for...
I'm going to get to that, mm-hmm, please. And so what you do is you have less income coming in. But nonetheless, these people on their buses are using those roads and abusing those roads, and they have to be kept up. There isn't the money to do it. Look what just happened. We failed. And so what I'm trying to say is these are users of this roadway, and they should be paying for it.
Do you think that – now, let's stop. Just hang on a second. Do you think that if people paid a fee for a user fee, if they worked that into the fee, the fare for a bus, and they started, you think that would that's the big problem?
I think that's where you get some of your income back, yes.
Okay.
I think
the county should have to pay taxes on their gas.
On certain vehicles, yes. Now, for instance, there are buses that are privately run that have to pay that.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, you have garbage trucks that, when they're run by the city of Columbus, okay? Now, I pay Columbus taxes, but I can't vote in Columbus. I have to pay for my refuse, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And my refuse taker has to pay taxes on his oil.
Okay.
And his gas,
right?
Road taxes, and I mean, I think all these. Let's have a level playing field here. The level playing field is if.
Well, they're saying that the gas tax is going the way of the, the typewriter. That it just doesn't generate.
I sure hope it doesn't, because this is an alternate way of doing. Because I don't want to see them do what you're alluding to.
I'm not.
That they're going to track how many miles you go and where you go, basically.
I don't know what the solution is, but what the experts say.
Ma'am, I'm giving you a solution.
Well, it's part
the
of the it's possible.
Everybody who uses the roads like this pays for it. Now, I certainly exempt the police and the fire department and services like that,
okay,
because that's part of that business. But every regular user of the road should be paying. And then I come down to bikes.
Okay, you know what, Gary? We got 10 people waiting to talk, so...
Well, I got a real problem with bikes.
Well, I know, but, bicyclists, that's another thing, and a lot of bicyclists I talk to say they pay for gas tax, too. They drive their cars, too, and they pay it, too, so... we'll move on, and I appreciate your call. 614-292-8513, Daryl in Brunswick, Ohio. I'm headed your way. Hi, Daryl. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Ann.
Good morning.
Wow. Huh? Guy doesn't like bikes. That's too bad.
Well, you know, takes all kinds.
Hey, I wanted to go back to, I believe his name was Dale, about the lobbyist. And I really just have a, pretty much a quick opinion here. I would like to see all of our lobbying done in a public forum, in an area where, you know, where it's going to be most affected, right? The people in that, that live in that area. And let the lobbyists pay for that.
Okay, you're going to have to... What do you mean? I'm not...
Well, if I'm a company and I hire a lobbyist,
mm-hmm.
right? And I want to maybe, say, expand my manufacturing in a certain area.
Right.
Right? Then that lobbyist doesn't go see, we'll say, Sherrod Brown. He meets Sherrod Brown in a public forum and, you know, free tickets, you come on in. Let him pay for some refreshments even, I don't care. And let the people who are interested will be there, and they'll hear what the lobbyists
say. Well, that's what committee hearings are for, Daryl. They're already doing that.
Well, I understand.
They can go.
You can go to Columbus and sit in on stuff like this.
And a lobbyist could go and testify at a committee hearing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That isn't that already kind of what, you know, is out there? But they would rather talk in private.
Right, and that's what I want. That's what
you just don't want them in private.
Right. You know, there's no private lobbying. It affects us all. So okay. let's put the truth right on the table, right in front of everybody. Say what you want to say and mean it. And then you're held more accountable.
Do you think that would be an efficient way for lawmakers to get enough information?
I think now we live in an age where I could almost go to my ATM and vote on an issue and turn my congressmen and my senators into people who would keep us informed of the issue. And we'll do the actual voting.
Okay.
I mean, you know. Yeah,
don't get the ATM companies on the voting thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, my bank has yet to make a mistake on my ATM receipt in 20 years. I'm sure they can get my vote straight. Could I just, I kind of pined a quote, and if I could get it out there, it's so relevant to the whole entire show today, really. Right now, we are stuck between the Flintstones and the Jetsons. And we have to take this country forward towards the Jetsons. And I'm not talking the flying car. I'm just saying right now we are so stagnant. Some political parties want to take us backwards. There's nobody talking about a 100-year plan. We're talking getting through the next election cycle.
Mm-hmm.
It is time that right now we are so stagnant. Let's take this country from the Flintstones to the Jetsons.
Well, I hope you're interested in our next hour because we're talking about two concepts you might want to check out, slow money and slow food.
Okay.
Very different way of looking at the world and how our economy works. So, Daryl in Brunswick. Daryl, remind me, where is Brunswick?
About 25 minutes south of Lake Erie in Cleveland.
All right. Well, you must be watching on television then, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks for watching.
Okay. Long time watcher.
Thank you.
Viewer. All right,
you are right. Take care.
Bye.
614-292-8513. I just have a few minutes, and I'm going to switch gears with Mary in London, Ohio, to talk about the right to work. Welcome to the show, Mary.
Hi, Ann. Yes, this caught my attention because I am a registered nurse, and I've always wanted to live out west. So in 94, I was in Colorado and checking out salaries, and I remember they were so low, and Colorado is a right-to-work state. I was very discouraged. I came back home to Ohio, and then in 98, I did move to Tucson, Arizona, and
another right-to-work state.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I had 15 years under my belt with a bachelor's degree, and Tucson General Hospital offered me $12 an hour, and I nearly... You know, and I was making twice that here in Ohio, and the person interviewing me, you know, she could tell I was like, I sort of
after she picked you up off the floor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right. I ended up then working for an Indian reservation and a federal salary. I was very happy there,
mm-hmm.
But I just always had that in the back of my mind that, you know, what's going to happen to nursing if we become a right to work state? You know, maybe not right away, but like 50 years down the road. You know, I'm back now in Ohio. My family's here, and I'm very happy with my job, with my salary. But it really is lower in Arizona and Colorado. And I know, you know, because I've been in both places.
One of the statistics I've read in the last couple of days is that in a right-to-work state, the average pay, so this includes everybody, is about $5,000 a year lower. Than now that's just a kind of a pretty spongy little number out there, but that it that the right to work just doesn't affect people who are unionized or in union shops or guilds. It brings down the wages of everybody.
Right.
Okay.
Tucson General is not a state hospital. It's just a it's in the city there. So.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, welcome back to Ohio.
Okay.
And thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Thanks. I'm going to 614-29. Well, we don't have time. I've got to take one more call, and I'll go with Todd. But, Todd, we only have about a minute left. So welcome to the show, Todd.
Hi, how are you? What I'm going to say would take more than a minute.
Yeah.
So I was just going to give you a compliment and say I think that you're, like, the best radio personality out there. I mean, I don't think anybody else comes closer because you're not rude to your guests and you actually have an intelligent opinion. So I listen to you all the time and I'm one of those people that listens but never call. But, you know, if there's like a radio award, you deserve it. I mean, really, because I really enjoy your show a lot.
Well, my director says I have 2 minutes left, so you can say something in 2 minutes, can't you, Todd? I mean, you could go on and on that direction, but you wanted to talk about the GOP on Social Security. Maybe that isn't. Is there anything else you want to talk about? That might get kind of lengthy. And by the way, Todd, thank you. That's very sweet of you. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Social Security was kind of the only issue on my mind.
Okay.
But if that would get, you know, take a long time, I could always save it for another day.
All right. Okay. Well,
okay, but
since you listen all the time, you'll be on board the next open forum, and I'll look for your call.
Thank you.
All right, Todd. Take care and drive safely.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Bye.
You bet. That was Todd from Florence, Kentucky. Who knows, you know, where people are listening from these days, from the Cleveland area, from down the street, from Florence, Kentucky, all over the place. Sometimes we hear from all the way across the country and around the world. So, thanks to everybody out there for listening today in our open forum, and hope you stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.